Again, whether you realize it or not, when you obey the gospel and you become a Christian, you also become a soldier of Christ. And you are in His army. You should be ready to fight and defend the truth. There are many, many similarities between being in the Lord's army and in an earthly army. And we're going to look at those similarities. So here we are, Onward, Christian Soldiers. There's actually a hymn that's titled that. Onward, Christian Soldiers. Notice the first point really quick here. Isaiah 11 and 12. It says, He will set up a banner, He being God. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And yes, God did that. God can do that. God is able to do that. And so I want you to notice here the word banner. An earthly army will usually have a banner, a captain, and a temporary camping place. So we also have these three same things in the Lord's army. First, consider the banner. For many armies, this banner might resemble a flag or something similar. But the Christian banner doesn't have a physical, it ain't anything physical. Instead, we have a spiritual banner that holds us to a higher standard. And this is how the word banner is used in the Old Testament. I wanted to show you that verse, which there are more verses like this. And the Hebrew writer tells us who our captain is. We're looking at the three things. We're looking at the banner, the captain, and the actual temporary camping ground. Notice what Hebrews 2:10 says. For it was fitting for him, for Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. I like the way that's worded, because that's exactly what John repeated in the first chapter. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see that? As Christian soldiers, we must put our trust in Jesus, and this is the reason why. And we need to listen to what He says in His Word. Jesus knows all about the enemy and how to deal with him and put him in his place. A lot of times we don't know how to put the enemy in his place. We don't understand the enemy because we don't know the enemy. We must know the devil and how he works so we can verify that it is the devil working, maybe tempting us in a certain way. And so if we want to be successful in the Lord's army, we must obey our captain's orders. And Jesus is the only captain. It's not the apostles. They didn't take his place when Jesus left and he left them in charge. They did not take his place. Jesus is the only captain that we have when we're talking about the Lord's army. And like I said in the very beginning, there's a lot of Christians that don't realize this. They don't understand that once we get baptized and we put on Christ and we become citizens of His kingdom, we're not only citizens, we are soldiers in His army. And we're going to look at many, many verses like this one. Hebrews 11 and 13, starting there. These all died in faith. And we know who they're talking about here, Hebrews 11. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. There's a lot that we can get out of this. I want you to notice first where it says here in verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And notice what 15 says. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out of, they would have had opportunity to return. You know what these verses tell me? Is that we cannot cling to this earth. We cannot cling to earthly things and what we see. We need to look forward to what we cannot see. Because when we get used to just having this, and yes, it's hard. Why? Because this is all we know. We see things, we touch them, and we know these things. But God says, don't concentrate on those things. You're seeking another homeland. They said they were pilgrims seeking another land. And it's not this land. It's not the earth. And I really like these verses because these people, they didn't receive the promises. They only saw them from afar. No matter where you live on this earth, right now, no matter where you live, what part of town you live in, what city, what country, doesn't matter. It's nothing more than a temporary home. That's it. That's it. Even if we live in the same place for 40, 50 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're just camping out because our permanent home is heaven. It'll last for an eternity. And that's why we're looking for that home. Something that will last. And this principle is found in Hebrews once again. Hebrews 13, 14. For here we have no continuing city, the Hebrew writer wrote, but we seek the one to come. Yesterday I was with friends, and one of them just happened to say, we were talking about people dying, and one of them happened to say, you know, the good Lord's kept me on this earth for a while. He's in his 60s. And he said, I hope that I'm here for a lot longer, because I'm not ready to die. I told him, I'm ready to die anytime. He said, aren't you younger than me? I said, yes, I am. He said, why do you say that? Do you not love life? I said, I love life. I'm not talking about committing suicide. I'm talking about, as a Christian, I'm ready to die anytime. We must be ready. We're looking forward to that heavenly country. And we need to be prepared. If we're not prepared, then we're going to be afraid to die. Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both body. No, he didn't say kill. Destroy. Fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. If we're not prepared, that's where we're going to end up. One of the main duties of the Lord's soldiers is for us to continue to move forward, no matter what's going on around us. And we know for a fact, because of our internet and all that, we know exactly what's going on all over the world. And we might be saying, man, I've never seen this before. This has never happened before. This is, wow, there's things going on that have never happened before. That's not true. It's happened before. We just didn't know about it. But now we do know about it. And we know why, because there's so much information out there. And the Lord God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about when you hear earthquakes and all these things happening, famines. He says, don't worry about that. You persevere. You keep going. I love the prayer. Thank you, brother, for bringing us that prayer. It fits in with what I'm talking about. We shouldn't worry about what society is saying. We should worry about converting them to Christianity. That's what we need to worry about. That's what we need to work on. And we do need to pray to God so that He can help us. Exodus 14 and 13. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, He says, you shall see them, you shall see again, no more. Forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. You want to know why Moses was saying that? Because the others were doubting. I don't know why you brought us over here. And I'm just paraphrasing. I don't know why you brought us out of Egypt, Moses. Look at now, we're stuck over here. We got to cross. We don't know how to cross. The Pharaoh's coming with his soldiers. They were afraid. He said, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Stand still. You know why he said that? They were shaking. They were trembling. No faith. Think about this. They had just seen the Lord God do so many miracles, so many wonderful things. I would have been like, hey, it doesn't matter. Those people are coming. They're right there. It doesn't matter. The Lord God is with us. He's going to figure it out somehow for us. And he did. He did. He parted the sea. And they walked on dry land. But notice why did Moses have to say that? Why did these people doubt so much? And we ask that question, don't we? What about us? Do we doubt like that? We might be saying, I don't know why these people doubted. They saw with their own eyes. We didn't. But yet we believe. We believe it. He says, these soldiers that you're seeing coming right now, you're never going to see them again forever, he said. You're not only going to see them again, you're not going to see them again forever. Wow. That's the power of God. He says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. These people were truly, truly afraid. So while God was on their side and would help them, he didn't want them to just stand there. He didn't want them to just freeze. And he wants the same for us. Notice what he says in the next verse. And the Lord God said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Could you imagine what Moses was thinking at the time when God was telling him this? Wow. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know. Notice, this is why God did it. That I am Jehovah God. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen, all of them were going to know that the Lord God is Jehovah God of hosts. He is the God to be afraid of. He wanted to honor himself by doing this. He told Moses, tell the people to move. Move forward. They were frozen. They were just shaking there. God wanted his people to move forward and keep moving. And this is exactly what you and I must keep doing, no matter what's happening around us. No matter if they say, you cannot preach those kinds of things anymore. You can't tell people that anymore. It's against the law. It doesn't matter. We can't stop. We ought to obey God rather than men. Isn't that what the apostle said? We can read about that. Why is that in there? Exactly. I really do think that day is coming. Maybe not in our lifetime, but maybe in your lifetime, it will come. I don't know. We pray and hope that it never comes, but if it does, we got to keep moving forward. We cannot allow the distractions of the world or sorrow or fear or anything to keep us from moving forward, because we have a battle. We're always in battle every day, and we need to win it because our soul is on the line every day. Our soul is on the line. We need to have the attitude like Paul when he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Paul says, because of what I just said, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. This is what we got to have. I'm looking across I'm looking here, I'm looking at all of y'all, and I see soldiers of Christ. That's what I see. But I can't tell how much faith you have. I can't tell how strong you are, because only you know that. Now, by congregating always and by staying busy, we can tell that we're working toward the goal. We are. But if you're weak in any way, if I'm weak, I need to let you know. You need to let us know. We must know these things so we can strengthen one another. Don't come over here looking strong when you're not. That's not going to help anybody. We need for the whole army, both men and women. Yes, to our friends, there's only two genders. I needed to mention that. We need to be strong and courageous. Always. We need one another. We can't do this on our own. Acts 26 and 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We know this is Paul, but I want you to see him. I want you to remember him as Saul of Tarsus. Remember? He said, this I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. Notice closely what he did. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Notice what Saul did. And being exceedingly enraged against them. Notice that. I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. This is the Apostle Paul. Think about that. At first, Saul was doing the work of the devil when he thought that he was working for God. But once he enlisted into the Lord's army, he took that same zeal and used it to fight against the enemy. And he became one of the hardest working apostles that we can read about. But these few verses here, wow, when we actually break it down, sometimes we can gloss over these verses and not get into the details. He compelled some of them to blaspheme. Ain't that something? We're going to kill these Christians. Kill them. I put my vote in there. Wow. Thinking that he was doing it for God. I wonder how many people in the world, like ISIS, that's what they think they're doing. We need to behead these people, and Allah is going to be, he's going to be happy about it. I don't know who Allah is, but I tell you what, it's not the God that we serve. Because the God that we serve tells us, feed your enemy, give him water. And we're like, okay, what? That's my enemy. He wants to kill me. Feed him. Give him water. Be good to him. That's the God that we serve. You see the difference? You see the contrast? Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things which he suffered. See that? And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all, not to some, to all who obey him. See that? Another important duty of a soldier is to follow orders. Just like Jesus, if a soldier fails to obey orders, and I'm thinking about an earthly army, many times it can cost others their lives. And we do have veterans here. Maybe you can vouch for that. When you're in war and you do something wrong, or you're doing something that's, you might put other soldiers in danger. Is that true? Yes. That's true. Well, we want to make sure the same thing is important for the Christian soldier. We must obey the Lord's commands because our soul is on the line, like I said earlier. And we don't want to lose our soul to the enemy. The enemy is always, he never sleeps, he never rests. He's had centuries to figure out what's the best way for us to lose our souls. He's not concentrating on the outside, not too much. He's got those people in his pocket already. No, he wants soldiers of Christ. The people from the world, they're already his soldiers. They're already working for him without even knowing it. And that's pretty sad. Acts 5 and 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. The apostles are a great example of this because it would have been easy for them to be silent and not speak about Jesus in public, just like the Sanhedrin council told them to. But they wanted to put God first, no matter what the cost. And when they were asked, why are you disobeying our orders? That's when they said this. They asked them, why? We told you not to preach in the name of Jesus. Why do you keep doing it? And that's when they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. 2 Timothy, here's Paul again. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see that? So if I get so involved in the world and all kinds, and I don't got time to fight for the Lord, to fight for truth, I'm disobeying. Yeah, we got stuff going on. We realize that. We got family. But if I'm concentrating on hobbies and other stuff and I just don't have time to study with anybody or do anything for the Lord, you know what? I don't even got time to go to church lately. I'm forgetting that I'm a soldier. Look at these verses. No one. There's another translation that says, no soldier engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Who do you think that is? The Lord Jesus. It's his army. It's his kingdom. Every kingdom, the United States is a kingdom. I see it like that. And the United States has an army. So we can defend ourselves. And we should pray for our soldiers. Always. Because they're always in harm's way. It seems like we're always fighting senseless wars, but I don't want to go there. Blessed is the man, says James, who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, when you live the Christian life, there are going to be times when you have to be willing to endure and fight the good fight of faith. Are we ready to do that? That old devil wants you to give up and yield to your temptations. But you must not listen to him. And don't listen to the world either. Instead, we should focus our attention on being pleasing to the one who enlisted us to begin with. That's it. You see, the message is simple. It is. It's a simple message. But are we doing it? Are we doing it? Joshua chapter 1 and 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This is a good commandment for us today. It is. Yes, it's in the Old Testament, but it's a good commandment for us. We need to adhere to these words right here. Be strong, be very courageous. For what? That you may observe to do everything that you've been commanded. Everything. Yes, we're not under the law of Moses, but we can say, yeah, be strong and courageous so that you can follow everything that Jesus Christ, our captain, has left us. All the commandments. Don't leave anything out. anything. Hebrews 13 and 6. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Of course, this is a song of David, Psalm 118. And so all these verses, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. It's true. We suffer from this. All of us do. We got to keep it in check. We really do. Here's another one for you. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you ever do that? Do we do that? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes during the week, I don't know, something will be happening. Something goes on. And I say to myself, okay, if I yield to that, or I shouldn't. I should stay away from that because I don't want to feel guilty come Sunday, the first day of the week, and I can't take this. I need to ask for forgiveness. I don't want to have to do that. So I'm not going to yield to that. I'm not going to yield to that. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to look to the left or to the right. I'm going to keep going. You ever say that to yourself? Because if you don't, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. That devil never stops. It could even be something on television that you're watching. We need to be real careful with that. Real careful. They are promoting what displeases God. Like, I don't need to tell you. We need to watch everything. If you're watching a show that you don't want your children to see, or your grandchildren, you shouldn't be watching it. Soldiers. Soldiers of Christ. That's what we are. And I need to be testing myself all the time. Because if I don't, I'm going to fail. Do I check myself to see whether I'm in the faith? What does Paul mean by that? Are you still in the faith, Jesse? Or do you just think you are? This is serious. Listen. We're going to be judged. Let me just give you an example. We're going to be judged by every single idle word that comes out of our mouth. You know how many words come out of my mouth per day? Not that I talk a lot. I mean, I know I talk a lot up here, but I really don't. I try not to. You know what that means? That means that we need to watch how we talk, how we dress, what we do, how we treat people at work. Everything that we do, we can gain people to Christ, sometimes without even saying a word. They say, something's weird about that person. They don't do anything that we do. They don't talk like we do. They don't dress like we do. None of it. None of that. The lesson is yours. This is it. I'm done. We are soldiers of Christ. Let us never, ever forget who we are, who we represent, because a day of reckoning is coming. And you know what the Bible says about those of us who are going to make it to heaven? I just love that. It says that we don't have to worry about that. It says that we don't have to worry about judgment. We don't need to worry about any of that. All that is going to pass over us, just like that angel of death did, and it didn't touch any of the ones that had the blood of the Lamb. That's why. They didn't receive any of that. It just passed right by them. But where were they? They were on the inside. They were on the inside because they would have been, if the first one would have been outside, what would have happened? They would have died, even if they were a Jew. Doesn't matter. God's people. He says you need to be on the inside. Same way, friends. If you're not a Christian, God says the same thing. You want my blood? You want my son's blood to take effect for you? You want to have contact with that blood? You need to make sure. You need to make sure and be on the inside. You put on Christ in baptism, you're on the inside. We want to be on the inside where there's no judgment, no nothing. It passes us over. That's why it's called the Passover. That's what we want on Judgment Day. We want the Passover. We're soldiers. Let's keep working. Let's not give up. If you're weak, if you're feeling weak, if you're not feeling too enthused, we need to know about it. We need to talk. We do. We need to encourage you. Give us a chance to encourage you. Give us a chance to encourage you so we can help you in any way. Let it be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Jesus.